Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, building a household of faith on a foundation of grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information. Thank you.
We're gonna sing together three songs. So if you can get a song sheet, you'll need a song sheet because there's some new lyrics to learn tonight. So who has those? Larry, do you still have them? Are they on the table? Okay. Hey, control that child over there. I. Yeah, he's singing. And we want to stop and pray together. Tom was just telling me that Toby Hoover, their friend who's a missionary in Bolivia, Toby was called to come back to the States because his mother was near death, and she, in fact, passed away this morning. And so we want to be praying for them and in that adjustment and so forth. And
Cindy and Jenny are still in Bolivia, so he had to come back by himself. So I know it's tough to go through that without your spouse there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So why don't we stop and pray for Toby and Cindy and Jenny and for one another. For the night, we'll pray for Rob. I know it's always exciting to be able to stand up and talk when you're not normally used to doing that. And we look forward to hearing from him tonight. But let's begin by praying together, okay? Oh God, we thank you for the day. We thank you for calling us together as your people. And Father, we don't know exactly sometimes how to approach this whole issue of death. There's a sense in which there's a very real grief and a heartache and a frustration because of this ultimate final slap at your creation and your holiness by sin and death. And yet there is also a sense of victory because we know that on the other side of death, you have put to death sin and all of its consequences. And so we thank you for the hope that we have because of Christ, and we pray that you would use that in easing the grief that Toby is feeling in these days and all of his family. And pray for Cindy and Jenny as they're left behind there and as he's dealing with all of these things by himself. And we ask you to sustain him and provide much grace for him. Father, even in the last couple of days now, Kevin Millard has gotten back to Brazil after the death of his mother. And I pray that you would help him as they are in desperate need of a new car. They're transportation has just about died on them. And I pray that you would grant the finances necessary to be able to provide better transportation. I pray that you would give them grace as they're about to move towards São Paulo and to take on a new opportunity in ministry there of publishing and conferences amongst pastors in Brazil and in other Portuguese-speaking nations. We pray that you would give them grace as they're moving about and as they're making the transition to a new pastor in the church that he planted there. Oh God, we lift to you others who we support and love and appreciate. The Thomases in Guatemala, our friend Bubba in East Asia, Bill Lawler in Wales, our friend in Indonesia, and many others that are on our minds because of personal connections or past awareness of their ministries. God, we pray for Adam as he'll be going this summer to be involved in the lives of those who desperately need a physical ministry, and we pray that that will open doors for the gospel. God, I pray for James as he'll be traveling to Brazil this summer. I pray, God, that you would sustain him and give him much grace, that you would provide for them doors of opportunity to express their love for Christ. And I pray for the pastors who'll be gathering in our conference in August as we look through the book of Titus and the faithfulness of that godly man and the ministry that you gave to him and the instructions of Paul for his life that are instructions for each of us as ministers. God, would you give us grace as we prepare, as we hold forth truth, and as we try to encourage these godly men. And we thank you for the ministry that we have right here. The gospel has indeed come to the ends of the earth when it's come to Lee County, Alabama. And for this we give you praise, O God. We thank you that you have not left us, but you sought us out. And you have sent by faithful messengers in days gone by the gospel message. And now we in turn can share with others around us. We thank you for the ministry that you give to our church and for the officers that you have granted to us. And we thank you for Rob, for Casey and their family, their life amongst us, and for the ministry that you will provide for them in the days to come. We ask for much mercy and grace as he shares with us tonight of his relationship with you and his calling to serve you and your church. And I pray that you would sustain him as he speaks with us this evening. But we pray too, oh God, that you would grant each of us the same longing to be faithful in the ways that you have gifted us. There are so many others who perhaps are not officers, or there are gifted women amongst us who have ministries and great opportunities within this body and in the community that we serve amongst. God, would you enable us? Would you enable the gospel? And by the power of your Spirit, bring yourself much glory. We ask for these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Okay, if you have your song sheets, why don't you stand with me? Let's sing together. We'll do them on the order that you find on the sheet there. What you said?
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship you now. How great, how awesome is he.
We stand and lift.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he. Together we sing, everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory, and it's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. And together we sing, everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory.
The song's fresh off of a request from somebody that gave it to us, and I'd forgotten about it. Song, old song that I'd forgotten about. So, do you know this, Refiner's Fire? Do you recognize it?
I've seen the lyrics before, but I don't remember the tune.
Okay. We can help you with a tune.
Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold. Refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. Purify my heart, cleanse me from within, and make me holy. Purify my heart from my sin. Deep within, refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will, ready to do your will.
All right, that's good. Why don't y'all have a seat again?
Let's do these last two.
I'm going to move this up a little bit. I think that'll help you. Rob, why don't you come on and share with us, okay?
You know if that's in the way.
Good afternoon. Well, I think all of you know that I'm Rob Grayley. And have the honor of sharing my testimony with you tonight. And the first thing that I hope you understand as you consider me to be one of your deacons is that some of you may not know this yet, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. And the Lord sees fit to remind me of that fairly regularly. And, you know, that's a wonderful thing and a blessing to be standing before you today. And my background is pretty boring. I was raised in a Methodist family of wonderful, caring and loving parents and extended family, aunts, uncles, and cousins. I've been so gifted in my life to come from the group of people that the Lord saw fit to be my family. And all very close and all very caring, but the one thing that as a group we're not as strong in as I look back now and see is that weren't strong in the Word and weren't strong in faith in the way that God would have us to be. And so I survived childhood, adolescence, and my father saw fit to spare my life during the teenage years. And I made it into college here at Auburn. And had all these grand ideas once I got here. Oh, he's fine. And at no point in my life would I ever have considered myself as having been saved. And it's what's most frightening about it is the indifference I had to the subject. And that, you know, it was something that I didn't desire, that I didn't think I needed, and all this other stuff in the world that was going on and taking place was all I cared about. So I picked my major in college by getting a list of 4-year degrees and the one that, you know, ranking them numerically by how much they paid when you got out. And so I did the one at the top. And I earned that more from a lack of intelligence, but a perseverance. The degree and got out and went to work. And somewhere in those later years there, when I was working on getting out of college, and I had my mind kind of, I loved hunting and fishing, and kind of was majoring in chemical engineering, had my mindset kind of cast on the South Texas oil fields. It's been somewhere I'd be interested in working because had big white-tailed deer, good fishing and hunting, and they hired a lot of chemical engineers out there, especially out of Auburn, and so it's kind of geared that way. And then I met this lady named Casey Blythe. And she explained to me as we grew to come to be honest with one another that that wasn't in really something we wanted to do. It's especially if we wanted to be married. And so I looked at other options, and there was this textile company over in LaGrange, Georgia, named Millikan. That was much closer to our parents, and that was something that Casey definitely had very strong on her list of items to look at after college. So got married, moved to LaGrange, and I started to work with Millikan, and we visited a couple of churches over there, but nothing real serious. And I had barely been in church since junior high. Never went through confirmation with Methodist Church. So, again, I really, really no desire for God. Church was a social club, you know, and so that's where you went to hang out and to make business contacts kind of stuff, you know. So, the go to work with Millikan and LaGrange, and after a couple of years, they say, hey, you might be smarter than the average bear, and you're dumb enough for us to talk you into this. So will you go to graduate school? Sure, I'll go to graduate school. That means more money for me eventually, right? It's pretty easy the way it works in worldly logic. So I uprooted my bride, who loved being close to home, and moved her up to Charlottesville, Virginia. And that was... I think if Casey gave her testimony, she would describe that as two of the most not thrilling years of her life. And there in Virginia, toward the end of the time there, we visited a couple of churches, but again, just kind of turned that off, went back into the worldly thing. So we've decided that we're going to purchase some land over in LaGrange, and we're going to build this wonderful house, and we buy the land and are making payments on it. I put down earnest money making payments, and we've contracted builders, and we've picked out the home plans and the home site, and all this is there together, and all I've got to do is roll back down here into my chosen plant that I want to go to work in. And we're going to be set right there in LaGrange. And there was some political infighting going on that I wasn't as aware of, a little bit naive at the time. But the plant that I had came out of really wanted me back in a bad kind of way because they needed a lot of help. And they thought for whatever reason I could do it. So they made it absolutely necessary that the only job offer I got from Millikan in the LaGrange area was to go back into that plant, who I had no desire to go back into. And the way it was handled was done in such a manner as to set aside the redneckness of me, which I have a fair amount of that still to go. And, you know, you want to get a redneck to do something, just try to make him do something else, right? So I'm not doing that. I talked to a couple of guys up in South Carolina. I've got me a job offer up there. Greenville, South Carolina, here we go. Casey was thrilled. we get set up there and move in. I'm working there. Everything's going along. And we start getting a little more serious about visiting churches because we want to make friends and different things. And and get assimilated into the culture of South Carolina. So we visit the Methodist Church there and the Presbyterian Church and Baptist Church. And we like the folks at the Methodist Church, and we like the preacher at the Presbyterian Church. We didn't, and Case had been raised Baptist, so there was always this kind of Baptist Methodist thing going on. Y'all ever heard of that? You know, like rivalry, whatever. And I'm not even, you know, claiming to be in the Methodist Church. I ain't going to Baptist Church. So, we managed to stay out of an obligation there, visiting around, trying to figure out what we're going to do. And I'm driving home from work. We've been there about 2 years now. I'm driving home from work one afternoon. It's probably about 7 o'clock one September afternoon. I'm getting home early. And there is the sun setting at an intersection near our home, off in the distance on the hill just a little bit. Behind these big oak trees is a steeple of a church that I've never seen before. 2 years making this drive all the time, about the same time of day. And here's this church steeple I've never seen before. So we get ready Sunday morning to go to church, and we haven't even really discussed it yet. And Casey says, where are we going today? You want to go back to the Methodist Church? Because she was actually coming around. If it'd get me in church, she'd go to the Methodist Church. And I'm still not of the Lord and not living anything like that, okay? So through clearly what was divine intervention, I said, no, let's go visit this church over here near our home. We haven't been there yet. We have no idea what type of church this is. No idea. So, you know, that. Looking back, I didn't understand how bold a move it was. So we get there a little early, and we sit parked down in the lower section of the parking lot a little bit. We watch a few of the folks go in, make sure they weren't too weird. And we say, okay, they look normal. They're kind of like us. Not that many trucks in the parking lot, but other than that, we're all right. So we go in. And for the first time in my life, I really felt like I sat through a service that honored the Lord. And it made such a distinct and deep impression upon me, I'll never forget it. To the point where when we were driving home that afternoon, Casey said, well, what'd you think about it? And kind of to paraphrase a little bit, I said, I think I want to go back there. I think that's where we're supposed to be in church. You could have knocked her over with a feather. So that was the beginning of the Lord leading me into the point of understanding of Him, that we started attending that church and we heard biblical messages of the gospel. Pretty much my life up to then had been a series of messages about how this little passage, if you apply it to your life, makes you a better person and everything's better around you because of it. Right? Nothing really about Jesus tied in there, right? Definitely don't want to offend the people by telling them they're sinners. So we hear the gospel. And after several months there, it becomes very clear that you know, the Lord has called me to be a different person than the one I was when I first started going there. And He saved me. And I look back on what I was, and I'm so overwhelmed every time I think about it. I shocked the people when I went back to work Monday morning because of my attitude and the change in vocabulary, or actually seem to have a vocabulary now. And the desires of my heart were very different. And, you know, I was a horrible husband. Still got a lot of that to work on. But, you know, what a terrible, horrible man that was. It's the same one that's up here today, except that the grace of God has made a difference in my life, and that He daily leads me to follow Him and to be a different person. And so He set me apart to make me understand that He had a lot of things that I need to be working on. We started with the baby steps first, and that was just gaining an understanding of who He was, and not this soft-pedaled version you get, but, you know, He's the Almighty God, the Creator. He's omnipotent, all-knowing, all-powerful. And He doesn't want me to be the person that I was when He saved me. And we start down this path of where He lets me see a little bit of myself to change. And so I think I can kind of work on that. And just when I think I'm doing okay, you know, here's another part, right? And that's kept going for quite a while now. And so I am not perfect. I've had the honor of studying under some godly men, both in the church there and in the church here. I've got so much to learn. Scholarly and theologically, I have so far to go. But one day, all those things will be answered. Well, I served as a Sunday school teacher and an RA leader, which is role ambassadors in the old traditional Baptist sense. Some of y'all may know of that. Most of y'all probably don't. It's a rare thing these days. But I worked with the kids in junior high. Wow. It was a lot of fun. And we were there for about 6 years. And so we had this group of boys that came to us on Wednesday nights from homes that they were there because their parents didn't want them at home. They wanted them somewhere else, so they had a few hours of freedom themselves. And so, you know, we worked with them and we taught them the gospel, and we watched them grow up into young men over the next 6 years. And the Lord was fruitful in some of their lives, and in some of their lives, they've yet to see Him in that light, in the light that we pray they'll obtain. But went on to become a deacon there, and during this time, our church is going through a transformation, and that they're going from what I would call a traditional, the last 100 years tradition of Baptist churches, and to a Reformed Baptist church. And through the scholarly study of the Word and clear divinement of the text of the Bible, there's really no doubt of the transformation. And we've had a lot of experiences there that God chose to glorify Himself in many different ways. Not all of them pleasurable to my heart, but He had to do what He had to do to make His church the church that He wanted it to be. And we worked through that and went from our budget was reduced to about 1/3 overall of what it had been before we began the process. And along this time, I've rotated off my 4 years of being a deacon. And we needed a new treasurer. Wow. Did I not know what I was volunteering for there, did I? But, I had the honor of serving as treasurer and seeing how God, even in the darkest times when we thought there's no way we're going to make ends meet, He would fulfill what we needed every single time. Sometimes in the last few hours, there would be a gift, an anonymous donation. He always made the ends meet, and it was to His glory that I was able to go through that and learn that it was in His hands. And in so many other areas of my life, I was already trying to learn that, but just to understand that if it's His will and what He purposes, it will come to be. Now, how obedient we want to be in that process, that has a lot more to do with us. But He saw it through, and there we made it through all those hurdles. We're stable. The church is loving and full of just God-fearing, God-centered people yearning for the gospel to be shared. And we have another tugging on our hearts, which is we want to be closer to our families. So I start this interviewing process again. Am I going on too long, Paul? Okay. So I start interviewing again, sending out resumes and things, and got the concept of working around Birmingham and Montgomery, or over in Tuscaloosa, of all places. And so I'm in a unique situation in that I have provided fabrics through my previous job to a lot of the automotive suppliers. And there's kind of like a code there that you're really not supposed to hire somebody away from the company who's provided you with product. And so it's just kind of interesting how all this is going on. And I get a few interviews and really thought I was going to be living down in Hope Hole. And things just don't work out. So it carries on for several months there, and I'm getting a little frustrated. But at the same time, we don't want to move anywhere if that's not the Lord's will for us. So kind of submit to that. Says, well, if I'm not supposed to be going, I'm not supposed to be going. So we kind of make that point. And then there's this posting on Monster. Y'all heard of Monster? It's where companies post jobs. And so I've got my online resume thing, and I just click send and go on about my business. Well, this company was in Auburn, Alabama. And they call me up and want me to do a phone interview, and so I do it. And it goes well, and they're making mufflers. I'm like, making mufflers? Anybody can make mufflers. So they bring me down for our on-site interview, and I'm talking with them there, and said, yeah, we've got you and one other guy interviewing. You know, we had over 800 responses to our posting, and of all those, we phone interviewed 12. We're bringing you and one other guy in here to interview for the job. And as the Lord would have it, I was the one they picked. So, again, here's a place where the Lord's kind of prepared us in that we're having to leave a church home and come to a new one. And we come down here to visit, and we look online and find this church listed with the Founders Ministries. And so Casey don't even come. The first time I come visit y'all, I kind of slip in and sit in the back and see how many of y'all are jumping pews and stuff like that. It's that tall guy with a beard. He doesn't have a beard anymore. Anyway. But, it was a blessing. And we see how, again, it's His will. And the timing of that with our home church there was such as it's kind of hard to believe. And that one of the struggles I had was, how do we leave, and how does that affect them financially? You know, I'm the treasurer, so I'm always pennies figuring type things. And a month or two before we're going to, or about a month before we're going to leave there, an extremely large endowment is left to the church. Way more than Casey and I would have ever contributed in the time that we hang around. And, you know, again, you're just sitting there saying, God's like, you just need to do what we tell you to do and allow Him to do what He's going to do. And I try to do that. And this stubborn man thing gets in the way. But so we come here and we find another church home that is as loving as anything you can imagine, and such godly and wonderful people. And there's no doubt where we belong. We didn't even visit another church. We, you know, naturally you get seized upon by some of the other ones. Evangelical spirits in the neighborhood, but we didn't. We knew, you know, this is where the Lord would have us to be. And for some unknown reason, one of our elders was serving as a treasurer and thought it might be a good idea if we shared that responsibility. And having been equipped somewhat to do the job. And understanding very clearly that, you know, the Lord didn't give us our gifts to sit on them and not use them. That, you know, when He leads you into a situation and there's a need and He's equipped you to do it, naturally you have to pray over it, but there's got to be a pretty clear signal otherwise to understand how that isn't a function that you've been led into. And so when asked, you know, I told him that I would be honored to serve, and I would be honored to serve as one of the deacons for this church. I can't promise you that I'll ever be the most godly man in your congregation. I promise you that I'll keep working toward that. And I'll do what I can to serve you in the ways the Lord would lead me to. And hopefully those will be far more joyful than otherwise. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the task at hand are the ones that He leads us to. And those are the ones that we'll do. And I am so humbled to be here today, saved by His grace, and have an opportunity to serve Him in another way. But I covet your prayers. And one of the biggest struggles we've had in our marriage life, at least for me, is I've wanted children so bad. And through His circumstances, control of them, and leading us down here, we now have that situation presenting itself. And once again, it's just His blessings to His glory. And so I just thank y'all for welcoming us in the way you have, and for loving us in the way you have, and just glad to be here.
Lamentations chapter 3. Verses 19 and following. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. I thought of this passage of Scripture while Rob was sharing and wanted to give you another word of encouragement about God's faithfulness to His people here. You know, we've had a lot of folks that are kind of moving on to different things, different places and opportunities and so forth lately. And one of the things that I noticed in our last financial report was that for the first time, I think, in the years that we've been here, our outgo exceeded our income. And Stan and I were talking on the phone after that, and both of us kind of said, you know, we need to just be aware of that and take note of that. And some folks are moving, and I know that they were probably givers. I don't know what you give or anybody gives or anything like that. Nobody gives me a report. And in thankfully, in 20 years of ministry, I've never seen any of that kind of stuff. So if you ever think I'm preaching to you about giving, I don't know what you give, okay? But one day, a couple of weeks ago, somebody called me on the phone and said, hey, we have a foundation, and we were kind of interested in your church and situation, just wondered if you needed anything. And I said, well, we've got some money in the bank, but we're trying to look toward the future and think about things. We've got some broken sound equipment. The microphone I preach with is broken and stuff like that. So, and they said, well, do you need some money? And I said, well, again, I mean, God's been very faithful to us. It's not like we're scraping the bottom or anything. And they said, well, how much do you need? And, you know, that's one of those things. You don't ask a preacher. I said, well, you know, if we wanted to build a building, it might take 100 or 1,000 or 200 or something. Like, I mean, we have lots of dreams down the road. And they said, okay, well, we'll pray about this. And the other day I got a check in the mail from this foundation for $20,000 to Grace Heritage Church. So we've got some broken sound equipment. We're going to try to get that squared around and fixed and some. And so you might just be praying about that and how. But that's just another picture of God's faithfulness and kindness to us, His provision for us. And He gives us good and godly men to serve. And there have been some other men that we've talked with a little bit. And I think there are other men in our body who are going to be officer candidates down the road. But in the meantime, that doesn't mean they're not already serving and impacting and shaping and doing ministry in our midst. You know, really, most of the time when we recognize officers in the church, it's because of things that they are doing and have been doing. And then they just receive a title that goes along with that. So anyway, this process will continue. If you have any questions for Rob, feel free to corner him. Or if you have any concerns or issues or questions, again, a part of our process is that if you have a concern about someone that we're telling you that we want to set forth before you as an officer, come and speak with Stan or myself or Tom, and we'll be glad to hear any of those concerns. But hearing none, we will continue and present him to you for affirmation and let you have that final word of affirmation two Sundays from now, okay, 2 weeks from today. So that's our process as we're looking to it. And I wanted us to sing a couple more songs before we go tonight. This is not a new tune, but it's new to me, so it may be to you. I don't know. I'll sing it for you once, and then we can... I'm trapped. Thank you, Josh. I'm telling you what, when my wife's out of town, I can barely brush my own teeth. Much less get all this stuff together. I will praise you all my life. I will sing to you with my whole heart. I will trust in you, my hope and my help, my maker and my faithful God. Oh, faithful God, my faithful God, you lift me up and you uphold my cause. You give me life,
You dry my eyes. You're always near. You're a faithful God.
Can you try to sing that with me if you want to?
I will praise you all my life. I will sing to you with my whole heart. I will trust in you, my hope and my help, my maker and my faithful God. Oh, faithful God, my faithful God, you lift me up and you uphold my cause. You give me life, you dry my eyes. You're always near, you're a faithful God.
Why don't you stand and sing that with me one time? We'll sing again before we go.
I will praise you all my life. I will sing to you with my whole heart. I will trust in you, my hope and my help, my maker and my faithful God. Oh, faithful God, my faithful God, you lift me up and you uphold my cause. You give me life, you dry my eyes. You're always near, you're a faithful God.
Finish tonight with something really familiar to you so you can rejoice in the provision of God's goodness. Come on, chorus.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. No, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not remembering the guitar strokes perfectly, not remembering what verbs we're going back to, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Josh, will you pray for us before we're dismissed this evening? Thanks.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this church. We thank you for everybody who you brought us here and you orchestrated our lives to love you and to love one another. We pray that you would just continue to work that work in us, Lord, that we might encourage one another, Lord, and bring you glory and honor. We thank you for Rob and pray that you would bless him and encourage his heart. Help us all to love him and support him, both with our words and actions, and Lord, most importantly, with our prayers. We love you, and we thank you, and pray that you bless us as we go out. In your son's name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. Good night.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m., on Sunday morning at the Best Western on the corner of College and University.